WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Families in Syria searching for loved ones after Syrian rebels toppled the Assad regime, with prisoners released from jails. Today, an American believed to be Travis Timmerman was found in Syria. He disappeared earlier this year while on a Christian pilgrimage in the Middle East. ABC's Patrick Reeval has more.
In these interviews, he says that he's okay, that he's basically trying to find a place to sleep each night. The U.S. State Department has said that they have made initial contact with him now and that they are trying to bring him home, but it's unclear yet what the next steps will be for him.
The U.S. also says it's working to locate journalist Austin Tice, who was kidnapped 12 years ago, and believe he's still alive. Lawmakers are asking for more information from the government on those recent drone sightings in New Jersey. White House National Security Advisor John Kirby says the investigation so far shows there is no foreign country involved, and he says no public safety risk. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A closed hospital in western Wisconsin may be temporarily reopened. This past March, Hospital Sisters Health System closed St. Joseph's Hospital in Chippewa Falls, along with Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire. Now members of the Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative have signed a letter of intent with HSHS to explore the feasibility of buying and reopening the 102-bed Chippewa Falls Hospital. If the co-op determines the building is ready to be reopened, it would be meant to provide health care for the area's residents until the co-op's new community hospital in Lake Halley opens in 2027. St. Joseph's could reopen as early as next fall if that proves financially feasible. The teen who allegedly assaulted and killed Lily Peters was in court Tuesday. The 16-year-old, identified as CPB in court documents, stood mute at his arraignment in Chippewa County Court. Not guilty pleas to intentional homicide, sexual assault, and child sexual assault were entered on his behalf. The teen is accused of assaulting and killing the 12-year-old girl in April of 2022, then hiding her body. Police say CPB allegedly admitted to the attack, saying he wanted to know what it felt like to kill someone. The case is being held in adult court, despite a long effort by the boy's attorneys to keep it in juvenile court. Keep a watchful eye out for scams this holiday season. IRS spokesperson Christopher Miller says phishing continues to be a major issue, so always double-check any emails to make sure they look correct and only shop at secure websites. Miller says you also shouldn't shop on unsecured public Wi-Fi in places like a mall or a restaurant, and help protect the devices of your more vulnerable family members like seniors and children. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks head to Vegas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks found out last night they'll face the Atlanta Hawks in the semifinals Saturday of the NBA Cup in Las Vegas. Tip-off time 3:30. Atlanta beat the Knicks in New York 108-100 to qualify. College hoops, the Badgers on the road against the Butler Bulldogs in Indianapolis. Game time Saturday at 1:30. Last night in Green Bay, the Milwaukee Panthers beat the UW Green Bay Phoenix 88-67. The Phoenix now 2-9 under Doug Gottlieb. NFL, Packers defensive back Jair Alexander back and expected to play after missing the past month with a knee injury. The Packers in Seattle Sunday night. Luke Musgrave returned to practice. Jordan Love on seeing the tight end finally doing some drills after ankle surgery in early October.
Yeah, it's been awesome to see Luke. He was out there in pads and whatnot doing some individual stuff today. So, you know, had a tough injury. Didn't know when he was going to be back. And it's awesome to have a guy like that back out there.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cold tonight, to low of 0 to 5 below. Mostly sunny, not as cold tomorrow, a high near 20. A wintry mix possible tomorrow night, then rain as we look into Saturday afternoon, and warmer through the weekend. Currently, we're at 8.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports. It drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Sommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge.
What's your kink?
Snowman. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We will be live in Seattle, Washington for a special preview of the Packers taking on the Seahawks. Trigvi Olsen joins me live, as well as our sports reporter, Mike Clemens. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Yeah, welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for hanging out, listening, being a part of this fine production. You can call us at 855-752-4842 or use that as a text line as well, 855-75-CIVIC. James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus Law Review here on the Civic Media Radio Network, airing on Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m., joins me today in our edition of Dom and Friends. We got JSPS on the board as well. We wrapped up the last hour talking about the fraudulent electors here in the state of Wisconsin and the attorneys who, apparently, if you believe the Attorney General from Wisconsin, Josh Call, the attorneys who fraudulently presented these 10 electors or fraudulent electors with fraudulent documents.
Right.
And now, instead of the one charge that Kenneth Cheesebrough, Mike Roman, and Jim Troupas were facing, now it's an additional 10 charges, presumably for each one of the fraudulent electors whom they frauded.
For the fraudulent conduct that they visited upon the fraudulent electors themselves. The electors are now victims in the state of Wisconsin.
It's really hard for me to believe that, Jim.
It is. And I would offer this. Let us suppose that next week the Electoral College is meeting. December 17th is the date across the country, right? They're doing it again, right?
In anticipation, okay.
January 6th is when they're counting. We have not, believe it or not, we have not yet elected a president in the United States of America. Happens, I believe the date is December 17th, so it's going to happen again, right? And suppose next week that you and Jess and others here at Civic Media are summoned in by the Democrats.
Ooh.
And you get a room in the Wisconsin Capitol. And you get some attorneys, whatever they'd be Democratic attorneys probably, whatever their affiliation is. And they come to you and say, Dom, we want to let you know that, in fact, we've got a plan that is premised upon the notion that Kamala Harris did, in fact, win the state of Wisconsin.
Okay? Harris won Wisconsin.
And we're going to present you with some documents to support that. And by the way, then we've got this other document that we want you to sign. It's got your name, your first name, your middle name, your last name. It's got a date. You're going to sign this under penalty of perjury next week, and it establishes that you are an elector and you're certifying that Kamala Harris won the state of Wisconsin. But don't worry.
Oh, okay.
Even though it's under penalty of perjury, we're not going to use it right now, but we may in fact end up sending this to the United States Congress if we need to do that. We'd just like you to sign off on that. Would you do that?
No, man.
The answer is no. Of course not. Right?
Because
right?
Of course Harris didn't win. Why would you do that? And would it make any difference if I believed in my heart Harris? Well, does motivation or intent matter?
Right. It shouldn't, because at some point even the law contemplates that you've got some basic intelligence I'll use the expression again, my friend, critical thinking.
What?
And pull up whether it is Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or whatever it is. you know, at some point you have to acknowledge that indeed there is a winner. And if nothing more, you can go online in the Wisconsin Election Commission, pull up but are just the raw numbers without the commentary here and see that all. And so the fact that that will not happen next week is also indicative of the fraud that was perpetrated not on these electors, but upon the attempted to perpetrate on the people of the state of Wisconsin. All the electors, like they were in other states, should have been charged, along with the architects, which are the three who have now been charged with these additional counts. Justice not done here. Justice not done. And also it happens 4 years after the events. 4 years after the events. Very untimely. Certainly, is there new information that we just got in the past several months? What is that?
Well, part of my question, Jim, is what was the relationship between, and I don't think the Trump aide, Mike Roman, I don't know if he's an attorney, I don't believe so, but certainly Troupas and Andrew Hitt. Troupas and Ken Cheesebro. pardon me. If they engaged, if they had a retainer agreement these 10 folks and they, you know, hey, I am your attorney, would there be an advice of counsel defense for those 10 folks in that circumstance?
Sure. And first of all, you'd anticipate maybe Andrew Hitt, when he's in these doing these interviews, would say, hey, here's my relationship with this attorney. I suspect there is not, but I don't know for sure. Presumably our attorney general does. But here's the other issue, which is the bigger one.
Do you need an engagement letter or retainer to take an advice of counsel defense?
Typically, you would have to establish that, yes, indeed, there is that relationship you've got.
And is that established by a cashing of checks?
It could be. It could be all sorts of things. It could be an agreement that you have just about representation. Okay. I do this all the time in a pro bono capacity. And you've got that attorney-client relationship. The advice of counsel defense is active. It's a real thing. Yeah. It's not a fraudulent concept. But basically, it's the kind of things that are not in the public domain. If, for example, I'm advising you on a tax matter, the 1956, the 1972 tax code, you want to incorporate, Dom, and you've got all sorts of specific issues about how that's done in the state of Wisconsin or Delaware, all kinds of in-the-weeds kinds of things that are not a part of the public general information. And your attorney says, you know, you can do this because I've looked at this. And it turns out the attorney is wrong about that. That's when a device of counsel's, because you don't have any intent and you legitimately relied in an area where you do not have the expertise, would not be expected to. If, on the other hand, I tell you that next Tuesday afternoon between 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, all of the laws prohibiting bank robbery are no longer in effect, federal and state laws, and I said, don't worry, I'm a lawyer.
Purge,
I know
baby.
These things. I'm a former prosecutor. I can tell you with absolute certainty. So just rely on what I'm saying to you and under those circumstances, what I've just said to you is patently absurd, right? And you would recognize that as being just that. That's when the court can break into that veil, if you will, around the advice of counsel defense and say, no, that's an absurd proposition. You can't rely upon, it's not even advice of counsel, that kind of defense. This basically suggests that you are living in a world that does not exist.
So then why give these 10 electors a pass? It seems absurd that this would be the process to go through, especially knowing that the Wisconsin Supreme Court had ruled, especially knowing that the court cases have failed, right? Why wouldn't it seem absurd to go down that road?
And what you expect of people who are being asked to sign a document under a penalty of perjury with their name on it would say, you know what, let me just do a little bit of due diligence work to see, hey, what did the Supreme Court just do earlier today? Can I just pull this up on my phone and make a determination about whether or not, again, the Wisconsin Election Commission, what they have said? Let me do a little bit of survey here. And if it turns out that really it is true, or at least there's a fighting chance here that Donald Trump still win, maybe then we can talk more. It also relies upon common sense to do just some due diligence here. It's an absurd proposition. People are not victims.
I'm going to do the due diligence on your example that all laws pertaining to bank robberies between 12 and 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. Are set aside. Mm-hmm. Is that Central or Eastern time?
It depends upon what your attorney has told you, right? Right?
Exactly. 855-752-4842. To conclude, at least on this topic, and callers will get to you momentarily, each of the 11 charges against the man, because it started with one and now there's 11, Each of them carries a maximum penalty of 6 years in prison in addition to a $10,000 fine. Are these people looking at 66 right. years and, in prison,
right,
Jim?
And that's the other piece of this. I know. I think there are people, and legitimately, are saying yes. Yeah, and
throw the book at him. And
throw
my
the book
vote,
at him. Absolutely.
My
I get that completely.
Did I tell you about my vote?
Yep, and my attorney general is going after these people who attempted to compromise my vote, so almost overthrew the. I get that completely. Yeah. A legitimate reason for being supportive of additional charges. Law enforcement folks, prosecutors do that all the time. The reality is that adding these charges when it comes to a conviction for the one count or the 12 counts is not going to result in any greater prison term, especially since, as we've talked before, a sentencing judge can even take into account conduct for which you've been acquitted, not charged, right? So I look at all this and I think, why are you doing this 4 years later? What is the impact of this? And is it meant just for the public consumption that says, yes, indeed, now it's not just one count. We've got them for 10 and 11 counts. We are really now kicking them in the shin. It sounds good. It sounds good. It sounds very visceral and superficial. Practically, I'm wondering what is really going on here.
Does it make the case for conviction above and beyond, beyond a reasonable doubt? Is it more difficult with 11 charges instead of the one?
Sure, right. I mean, it, on the other hand, you know, it does give the jury a chance to pick and choose. You got maybe a greater chance of getting conviction. But the reality is you've got to prove now two kind of different theories here, right? You've got to prove both fraud on you and me, and you've also kind of fraud on these people who you're presumably going to call in as witnesses, who they're your victims. They're maybe now your witnesses, right?
Right.
And you're going to ask the jury to believe them under cross-examination of the sort that we have just undertaken.
Could they be
here
compelled as quote-unquote victims? Could Andrew Hitt be called in these cases to testify against Cheesebro and these other cuts?
Government can issue the subpoenas, and he can move to quash them before a trial judge here. It's in Dane County, right? You could do that. Most judges would say, gee, you're not a defendant. You're not being compelled to testify against yourself, maybe even asking the attorney general. They're not going to be charged. And you've got relevant evidence, relevant testimony to provide here. Probably would be the subpoena would be enforced. And so, yeah, I think that they would, in fact, appear in this case. Hmm. What an interesting trial.
Wow, that
would
that makes would, it right, a little right, more interesting.
Right, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But in the end, they shouldn't be witnesses. They should be on the defense side of things because they committed crimes. And that's not how they're being categorized now.
Not just against the state, but against you, me, and Jess right, by trying right. to steal our vote.
Absolutely.
And that's the
Absolutely,
worst thing.
Right.
855-752-4842. Let me tell you about me, Jim. Let's get to some of the callers. Mark, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, I'm a victim as well of these guys that they did this stuff. I mean, as I've said before, I mean, the 14th Amendment is pretty clear on who the electors are. And these people should darn well knew what it says because they've all been floating around in the ether that is their class, especially Bobby Spindell, who sits on the election commission, mm-hmm. and should know darn well what the law is inside and out when it comes to this. They did this because they thought, well, just maybe we'll get away with this. And let's remember the whole plot behind this was they passed these things on to Ron Johnson, his other co-conspirators, and they hoped to get this stuff through because January 6th was just part of the whole conspiracy, and that's what should be particularly galling to everybody, is that there was a conspiracy, pure and simple, even though that it's all got dropped, as far as, for Donnie Trump and his co-conspirators here. But this will go down in the history books, and future generations will look upon this and say, what the hell happened here that we did not pin this guy's ears back?
Yeah, and thank you for the call, Mark. And you're right, absolutely right. History will be the judge ultimately, but I'd like to judge here right now. And when these folks try to steal our votes, I think we should always shout it from the rooftops, Jim. I mean, there should be no letting up on this. And another lesson to be learned for those who would seek to be in Trump's orbit, to get a little sniff of that nice white power, right?
Absolutely.
It's all about that power, man. Eventually, you're going to get cast aside or you're going to get caught up. You're not the president. You're not the billionaire. You're just a coffee boy who's going to end up doing some time. 855-752-4842. Coming back with more of your calls. Plus, let's get to the pardon issue. Here with James Santel, former U.S. attorney. Come back with us.
News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month. as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, breaking the law with you here, 855-752-4842. James Santel breaking the law with me. I swear he's breaking the law with me. Got Just PS on the board and you on the lines, 855-75-CIVIC. Len from Madison. Those are willing complicit. Those that are willingly complicit, thank you, Len, are not victims. Willingly complicit. Mm-hmm. They're not victims.
Right,
I agree with Len.
And that's what the jury instruction says. Talks about willfulness, intent, purpose. What were you doing when you were signing those documents? You almost...
If you believe Andrew Hitt, he was saving his life.
Life, right?
Because if he didn't sign it and Trump ended up being found to have won or whatever the case was, then his life would be in danger. Let's see. This was what? Andrew Hitt, who was the chairman of the Wisconsin Republican Party, saying that of his own party members.
Isn't that telling?
Jeez,
if it's true, isn't that
man.
Telling? Right? I mean, right?
Wow. We like pirates around here.
Who knew in the state of Wisconsin we've got those kinds of folks out there?
You gotta fear your own crew, right? Man. Come on.
We thought we were gentle and kind.
Wisconsin nice?
Right,
what happened
right?
to Wisconsin nice?
Wow. Turns out we're attributive.
We got pardons to get to. We got the Hunter Biden pardon. We have Trump threatening or saying he won Man of the Year from Time Magazine. But, you know, they don't have a great track record. Let's just go that way. Talking about pardoning the January 6th rioters or whatever you want to call them. And, of course, today the news is Joe Biden, the president, commutes?
Right, he did some pardons.
What's the proper term?
The United States Constitution talks about both granting reprieves and pardons, commutation, different from pardons. Pardons basically erase the conviction, wipes out a conviction. Takes it off the official records. Historically, of course, it's still there. Wipes out the conviction. Anything goes along with that. A commutation leaves the guilty verdict or the guilty judgment in place. It's still a part of the public record, the official court record, but it typically reduces the time of any sentence, maybe based to time served. Basically says go and be on with your life, but the underlying conviction remains. And Biden did a combination of both of those just earlier today, in two different categories. The commutations were basically for people, once again, who had been during the course of the pandemic, basically sent out of their prisons and told to serve the rest of their time at home.
Michael Cohen, the former fixer from Donald Trump, did that, but then he threw his ass back in jail.
Exactly. Because life is very complicated, is it not, Tom? For all of the categories, there's always one, right? And so there's kind of this threat out there that again, a new party coming in would basically say, no, we want all those people who went home during the pandemic for purposes of ensuring that Bureau of Prisons are not these petri dishes of COVID, causing great harm to another population in America. Let's call them back in and send them back to prison for that period of time. So commutations basically don't undermine and don't erase the underlying convictions, basically say time served. And so he ensures that those people will not be going back to
prison.
What
if there was outstanding fines, for example? You're on a payment plan because you can't afford the $100,000 fine. You'll have 50 grand left for whatever. Would that be part of it as well?
It could be. It depends on the case. All kinds of circumstances. Yeah. This is why, for example, you've got an Office of the Pardon Attorney, believe it or not, inside the Department of Justice that looks at all these things in a proper world and says, gee, does this person deserve a pardon, a commutation? How does this work? You've got people who are applying standards. Practices.
Come on, man. I feel like Trump was going through the Office of Pardon Approval process, man.
That was just his family.
apparently right. Not when Charles Kushner, the father-in-law of his...
Mr. Ambassador to France. France, yes.
Right. The father of his son-in-law, convicted, again, according to what Chris Christie says, was one of the most heinous crimes he's ever seen when he was U.S. attorney.
He honeypotted his own brother-in-law and sent the sex tape to his sister, man! And, what?
And believe it or not, that wasn't even the core of the conviction, right? That was kind of a collateral piece on all this.
Yes.
But France, here he comes. And unlike the Office of the Pardon Attorney, again, civil servants looking at the applications would have sent this one on. Maybe we sent it on to the White House.
I'm sorry.
Applications, right?
What is that exactly?
You'd fill out a form, right?
There's a form?
Right? Do you think
that Jared's dad filled out a form, Jim?
I'm guessing probably not. I'm guessing probably. In fairness, when George Washington was president, he would write these out by his own hand, right? He didn't have typewriters, so he'd write them out. My guess is there's some written recording of that somewhere, but didn't probably go through those civil servants in the Department of Justice. Typically, their standard has been 5 years after the conclusion of your sentence, your judgment, and show us something about your life that commends you to the community. You've done something. You've been magnanimous. You have supported some social causes. You made yourself, your community, your family better. Show us why you are qualified to get clemency or a pardon. Show us that. We'll send that on to the White House then for the president to make the final determination of the Constitution, but go through us first. Unlikely that happened.
My son's sleeping with your daughter. 855-752-4842. Dick from Madison, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
It'd all be real funny if it wasn't so pathetically sad.
Absolutely.
The best political cartoon I've seen, a couple things, was Hunter Biden standing in the Oval Office with his dad, and Joe is saying, well, I can pardon you, or you can get a Confederate flag and attack the Capitol on January 20th, and Trump will pardon you.
All right.
And that's the president-elect's promise, right? He has said that he's going to do that and probably will grant pardons to all those people, which means that, again, maybe even beyond those who have been charged already. You can do this, by the way. Here's your civics point for the afternoon. You can extend pardons to people who have not yet been convicted. That's the Richard Nixon situation, right? You can describe it as Hunter Biden's pardon was for a period of time. For those people who are in the process right now, frankly, if I had a defense attorney and I was defending somebody right now in the D.C. District Court who has been charged but not convicted, I would delay that and delay that and delay that until January 20th, right? Somehow, because then you know that you'll almost certainly get a commutation, a pardon, even after the judgment. If you're sitting in prison right now, even if you have served your time, paid your fine, you can still get a pardon.
Interesting. So Joe Biden apparently is considering preemptive pardons for, J6 committee members, right, for Fauci and others. We're going to talk about that as well. Come back with us. 855-752-4842. It's a crime if you don't, and you won't get pardoned. Breaking the law.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Ithaca School District has two seats up for election this spring. The seats, currently held by Robert Busher and Kelly Variance, are at-large positions for 3 years beginning Monday, April 28, 2025, and expiring April 2028. If you are an Ithaca School District resident interested in serving, a campaign registration statement and a declaration of candidacy must be filed no later than 5 o'clock Tuesday evening, January 7th, at the district office. The spring election will be held Tuesday, April 1st. If a primary is necessary, it will be held Tuesday, February 18th. Representative Tony Kurtz of Waniwak has been appointed the Assembly Vice Chair of the Joint Finance Committee by Speaker Robin Voss. The Joint Finance Committee is a statutory 16-member standing committee of the Wisconsin Legislature. The committee's primary responsibility is to serve as the principal legislative committee charged with review of all state appropriations and revenues. Kurtz says he's grateful to serve in the position. He added, quote, "Wisconsin is once again in a strong fiscal position going into the next budget cycle. We've made historic investments in local government, transportation infrastructure, and workforce housing. The legislature passed three variations of tax cuts that were ultimately vetoed by the governor. I look forward to returning the surplus to the hardworking taxpayers of our great state while ensuring continued investments in special education, first responders, local roads, and rural hospitals." Kurtz has been representing the 50th Assembly District. In November, he was reelected to serve a fourth term in the State Assembly. However, with the new maps, he will now represent the 41st Assembly District. This will also be his third term serving on the Joint Finance Committee.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. You might think Americans don't work as hard as they used to, but that is not true at all when it comes to TV watching. Tube viewing was up 5% overall for the month of November, but that does not include Thanksgiving, which would have driven the numbers up even higher. According to Nielsen, the reason for the increased viewing was the election, World Series, and the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul Snoozefest. A Nielsen pie graph shows broadcast networks with 23.7% of viewers. Streaming services accounted for 41.5%, which is up a percent from the previous month. Cable accounted for 25% of TV watching. In the category of other, on the graph, it showed 9.7%. I'm guessing those are people who just leave the TV on and stare at the Roku home screen indecisively. Speaking of streaming, Netflix really hit a home run last month with the Tyson-Paul fight, even though it left viewers watching mostly a rotating buffering ball. Netflix's The Lincoln Lawyer was the most viewed streamer for the month with 3.9 billion views. Well done, couch potatoes. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cold tonight, to low of 0 to 5 below. Mostly sunny, not as cold tomorrow, a high near 20. A wintry mix possible tomorrow night, then rain as we look into Saturday afternoon, and warmer through the weekend.
It's 9 right now.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating him for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will be recombobulating Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area to break down all the news, and we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a Law Review, broadcasting here on the Civic Media Radio Network on Saturdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Joining me in studio, Jess P.S. is on the board. And folks, don't kid yourself. Jess is really in charge. 855-752-4842. We're talking about commutations. Am I saying that right? Commutations.
Yep, absolutely.
We're talking about pardons and preemptive pardons. Okay,
right?
So the commutations, Jim, apparently that Joe Biden did today, President Biden, were for generally nonviolent drug offenders.
Right. The pardons themselves.
So can I get me one of those?
Right.
Have you been charged?
Well, and once again, this is the reason why Jess is your producer, because she hits it right on the head.
Do I have to be charged and convicted? Because isn't that the point of our next topic?
Absolutely. So the Supreme Court has said, Jess knows this. I suspect you know this and all your listeners know it too. Supreme Court has basically said that a pardon is premised upon an acceptance of responsibility. It's an acknowledgement of guilt, G-U-I-L-T, right? And so here's a little anecdote from history. Gerald Ford, after he pardoned Richard Nixon, criticized a lot. He goes around the country, both while he's campaigning for the presidency and afterwards. He keeps a card in his pocket, reliably, and it's got a reference to this case called Burdick, in which the Supreme Court says that. And so people come up to him and say, you let Richard Nixon off for all of his crimes. Yeah. He says, no, I didn't, because when Richard Nixon accepted that pardon, I granted that to him, he accepted by doing that, he is acknowledging he committed crimes. And that's the point about all these, right?
Come on, so what? I dubbed thee flounder. I mean, so what? You acknowledge you committed crimes, but you don't pay any price for it.
Right. And the fact that you can do it at any time. You can do it as Joe Biden just did for a period of time. Richard Nixon also for a period of time. You can do it before, during, after conviction. Anytime. The Constitution is very broad on that. But here's the point. Again, this is lost on everyone but your listeners and you and Jess and other people in civic media here. There is that fundamental notion. And this is the reason why my he's not calling. He doesn't respond to my letters. But if the president happens to be listening to this fine broadcast, don't do this, Mr. President. Don't do preemptive pardons for a couple of reasons. One is, and I wonder out loud if people like Jack Smith would even accept such a thing. He knows this. I'm accepting a pardon. For what? For criminal conduct? Tell me what it is that I did as special counsel that is a crime. Tell me what it is.
Well, you went after the king. That's
right?
The crime.
Right? And find the criminal code reference in the federal criminal code that makes investigative work based upon probable cause returned by a grand jury that makes that a crime, Mr. President or Mr. Attorney General. The same with the chair of the January 6th committee. Same with Adam Schiff, who's also out there on the list. Anthony Fauci. What did Anthony Fauci do? You may disagree with him on medical things, although you shouldn't. He's a brilliant person. He got it just right. What crime did Anthony Fauci commit for which he needs to be pardoned? And again, I think it's a bad idea, not only legally, but it also sends the message. And this is the big one. You do preemptive pardons. They don't have to be accepted, by the way. You can extend them. You can accept them or reject them. But let's suppose there are a great number of people among that list. Even some Republicans are on the list, too, obviously. Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, all those folks, right? If you send the message, if they do, in fact, say, yes, I'm accepting the pardon extended to me by President Joe Biden, you're basically giving that lead, that emphasis.
Ammo. You're giving them ammo.
Right, to the president and other people say, see, the prior administration was full of criminals. And they're now acknowledging it by virtue of accepting these pardons. They're acknowledging that they committed crimes in that investigative work, both in the grand jury and the trial efforts, all those motions they filed in Florida and in the District of Columbia. They're acknowledging that when they pursued that January 6th committee for all those times we saw them, that they were engaging in criminal conduct. See, this is what I'm talking. I'm vindicated by history. Don't do this, Mr. President. And instead, here's what we do. If, in fact, he does turn around, I think there's some strong safeguards against charging people because you still have to get through a grand jury to charge Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney. It's a big hurdle. You can still open the investigation. This is why Bondi and Patel are such a danger. You can open the investigation. Sometimes the investigation can be the punishment itself, right?
That can
happen. But still, I would much rather have us invest in lawyers for these people. Let's get some civic groups out there. Let's get some public interest groups to give them lawyers to defend against these spurious charges. Let's get them dismissed. And that will live on for history as a rebuke to this effort to go after your political rivals. But don't do this now. Don't do preemptive pardons.
I struggle with this because, of course, you're absolutely right. And I and the response from Cheney and Kinzinger and others have basically been bring it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but not everyone has the resources. And I don't know that you want to go after Dick Cheney's daughter. You know what I mean?
Right.
But part of me is also like, well, yeah, so what? So what? I mean, Trump pardoned all sorts of folks. I mean, Trump pardoned Flynn, and Trump pardoned Roger Stone, and Trump
Steve Bannon, Paul Manafort, Roger Stone, right?
His advisors, right? His campaign manager. Now, granted, those, and I guess this would be my distinction. Those are not elected politicians, right? Those, and I think there is a difference there, and and maybe because of that difference, I'd be more leaning towards your side. But I have a big, you know, FU kind of attitude on this as it comes to what is right and proper and moral, quote unquote. Because look at what the Trump people are getting away with and doing, and they don't seem to give a damn. The MAGAs don't, whether or not Roger Stone was pardoned, or whether or not Flynn was pardoned, or whether or not Bannon was pardoned. You know, they don't care. They're all It's all just a big witch hunt, according to them. But of course, now on the other side, the hypocrisy would be, well, you're doing that. Look, we've been right all the time. So, I mean, yes, you're right, but come on, man. And we have to live at different standards now.
And the other piece of it is you go after some staffer whose name we do not even know right now. It was Jack Smith was out there. He was the voice piece, he was the face of this. He had lots of attorneys. Some of them have appeared in court. We know their names. And those people, I can speak to this as somebody who worked for the government for 30 years, you do not become wealthy. Yeah. I am not a wealthy person. I'll state it on the radio here right now. I'm still not a wealthy person.
Oh, man, you're not doing it right, Jim.
Exactly. Something is wrong with my career choices, right, Dom? But you do not become wealthy working for the government. You've got some other interests in your life, and these people have plenty done. They've got career officials inside the Department of Justice. The investigation can be the punishment. You open an investigation, you require them to produce documents, you pursue, again, it shouldn't happen.
If they go after DOJ, FBI type folks, right?
Mm-hmm,
and they're still employed, does the FBI defend them?
Not necessarily. Again, it has to do with whether what they're alleged to be done is an official act or something in their private capacity. Oh, of course, they're official acts, right? And so it should be.
I've heard this story before.
You've seen this, right? Routinely, when I was a civil division chief, you would grant people, you would say, no, you're being sued because of something you've done in your official capacity.
Yeah.
And yes, we will represent you. Well, so that can often happen. But the allegations, again, can be in the nature of, well, you're so far beyond your official acts. You've heard this before, that you're acting in your personal capacity. Therefore, you pay for this privately. And even beyond just the economic piece, which is huge.
Right.
I get it. That can be can be devastating to people. Right?
Trooper said he paid like $500,000just for the civil case to defend against.
Absolutely.
And good.
Right. Right.
And part of that civil case here in the state of Wisconsin, Jim, they had to admit that they were, in fact, the 10 electors admitted that they were trying to overturn the election.
Exactly, right? So make those admissions there. Economically, it's huge.
Yeah.
Here's the other piece of it. Just psychologically, you're under investigation for what, 2, 3, 4 years? And you know that, again, I do not believe that legitimate grand juries in eastern Wisconsin, western Wisconsin, the other 90 districts out there, 26 people would look at these kinds of plainly trumped up political charges and say, yes, I believe that there is probable cause to believe that crimes have been committed. I think that's your big stopgap here. But the investigation, the open investigation, where you're subject to interviews, if you and your lawyer choose to submit to those, which you may want to do, you're required to produce, you know, bank records of yours, telephone tolls, things you've had to explain,
but those kinds of requests have to, don't they need some probable cause? You can't just go on a fishing expedition and say, hey, show me your taxes for the last 20 years because you didn't dot an I or cross a T on your F-1 form.
And goes to the fundamental issue that what's wrong with all of this. The answer is yes, absolutely. You can't open a file unless you've got some reason to believe that you or I actually committed. You don't have to have probable cause. You don't have to have anything, just even a some sense that there is something out there that you have done. It can be very low level. You don't have to have a high level standard here to open the investigation. And as a result of that, you can do it if you've got a Pam Bondi or someone else telling your National Security Division, your criminal division, other sections. You've got the FBI saying, you know what, let's just play around with this. There are also stopgaps inside the federal judiciary. To get some of that, I have to go to a court to produce these kinds of things. I've got to show to the IRS I've got a need to show. So there are safeguards along the way. Does it prevent the file from being opened inside a truly corrupted Department of Justice? If you're taking assignments exclusively from the White House and the West Wing, and you are saying, Mr. President, I am loyal to you, I will open up that investigation of Dom Salvia. I don't know where it's going to go, but I will do it, and I will require him to get counsel, and I will change his life for the next several years. That you can do.
Counsel. I'm pro se, Jim. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Civic. Carol's been patient on the lines. I want to talk about pocket pardons in just a moment. Carol, welcome. You're on with Dom and Jim and Jess. What do you got?
Hi. Since we were on the subject of pardons, do you think Leonard Peltier will ever get a pardon or a compassionate release, or is he in there till he passes?
So it's again, it's that's how much time do we have? Right.
Yeah, right.
It's a tough question. And again, it's one of those things where I suspect that reasonable people can, if not disagree, at least have different views on all of that. I mean, obviously, there are convicted crimes there and some of them are very dramatic. On the other hand, an awful lot of argument that he has served his time and should now be subject to maybe even a commutation, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's the situation. It's a perfect example of where the Office of the Pardon Attorney, people who look at these things all the time, should weigh those countervailing considerations and make a thoughtful, non-biased recommendation. Say, you know what? The time has come to do this. Or, you know what? The time has not yet come. This is our recommendation, Mr. President. Here are all the facts. You make the decision. That's what our Constitution contemplates.
Thank you for the call, Carol. Pocket pardons. Yes. Is it possible for a current president, for Joe Biden, to say, hey, here's a pardon for if and when you ever, whatever, it's basically you get out of jail free card. Is that a thing?
The answer is it's a thing out there, I think, in pardon lore, if you will, kind of like.
Has that ever been done?
Right.
That we're aware of.
Not that I know of. Again, that's the point, right? If you want to use it, at some point, it's got to be inside government records somewhere, right? If you happen to upon Joe Biden in the next 38 days, and he before you have not committed crimes,
the back
crimes,
of the napkin,
Dom, right?
From the Roman coin,
exactly,
says, Dom,
right?
You got a free pass,
right,
brother.
Right, precisely. Frankly, it is to your advantage not to keep that in your pocket. Why? Because if you need to use it at some point, then you've got to establish not only is this Joe Biden's signature on this napkin from Roman coin, but I got it on January 5th, and this is, I was there. You've got to have Jess along with you. He says it would testify. Mm-hmm. You have to establish its legitimacy. If it goes through the regular process, if it comes from the pardon attorney, if it goes to the White House, they all these pardons, these 1,500 from today, there's record on all of them. So they're for time immemorial, even the people who got commutated
sentences. Okay, so I go through the process. I hit, you know, the office of whatever.
Right.
I get to check the box. I got it notarized. Jess sees it. I take it. I put it in a safe. It's good forever.
Right.
And I hang on to it until if and when. And I would, you know, you don't pull it out until the jury comes back, right? Hey, convicted.
Right.
Boom. Here's my pardon.
Right. Your lawyer would probably tell you, let's get it out long before that.
Are you kidding me? They're going to want their billing hours, Jim.
Right,
this
exactly.
is why you're doing it wrong,
right.
man. I'm telling
right.
you.
Right? Exactly. But so don't hire me because I would recommend we produce that long in advance.
Gosh,
of a,
you're so moral.
Of a jury delay. I want you to be out from under this as soon as possible. It then goes back to this issue. If you've got a Department of Justice that says, where has this been for 20 years? And how do I know that, again, it's legitimate? Then you've got a burden of proof. And you do have to call on Jess, who will then be the president of the United States of America. Maybe she's even more credible than she is today to testify about it. You've got to establish all those things for the legitimacy of a future presidency, a future administration. Get it on the record now. It's much wiser to do it that way.
Folks, it's all about the billing hours. 855-752-4842. Come back with us. One final segment with our friend James Santel.
We'll be right back.
News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot!
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports and drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm gonna make it bend and break.
They sent you to me with that way.
Say a prayer, but let the good times roll. In case God doesn't show.
Let the good times roll.
And I want these words to make things right, but it's the wrongs that make the words come to life.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a law review, broadcasting here on the Civic Media Radio Network on Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. Getting a little early taste with me here today, our last segment. Jim, thank you for doing so. Just P.S. on the board. We got some very active posters on here. Our buddy Tom from L.A., Jim, you're speaking too much like an attorney. Attorneys who screwed up got Trump got away. Trump is a 34 convicted felon. And Jim wants to talk about justice? Really? Question mark. Now, Tom said he would take it. He says, basically, these aren't normal times. And, you know, I'm going to paraphrase because Tom's over here writing a novel. You could just call, man. But basically is that, you know, Trump's going to do everything he can. Absolutely. Why shouldn't we, Biden, Dems, whoever might be in the crosshairs, do whatever they need to do to fight back?
I get that completely. And again, the extension of pardons would not be unconstitutional. If Joe Biden wants to go ahead and pardon preemptively all sorts of people, he can do it. Again, the other piece of this from the Supreme Court is it's not subject to review or by overturning. That's been the case.
And they have to accept it.
They do not have to accept it.
They don't have
to.
But can they hang on to it then? That's my point.
You have to do something with it, again, for the reason we talked about before.
But how do you do a preemptive pardon on a crime that has not yet been charged for something? A preemptive pardon for something you didn't do on a trumped-up charge that has not yet been submitted. What are you pardoning them for?
That's precisely my point. And what is the message that that's sending to the American population?
They're all a bunch of crooks.
That the Democrats have, for the past 4 years, and previously in that prior Obama administration, if we reach back then, they have, and now we've got confirmation from them that they're criminals.
Yeah.
And I think that is the high ground to say no to that. And to respond to the other issue, of course, and I've been very critical also of this attorney general, the one in Washington, D.C., for preemptively, I believe, dismissing those federal cases, both in D.C. and South Florida. We talked about this before. Big mistake. Keep those cases pending. Get orders from Tanya Chutkan and from the 11th Circuit disposing of those cases. I think that the Democrats dropped the ball on that and they were not as aggressive as they should be. Even though those trials were never going to happen, another missed opportunity.
Jim, read an interesting article recently about perhaps Joe Biden using monumental pardon power. Any folks that would be here undocumented, illegally, quote unquote, to pardon them. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that concept?
You know, it again, typically in recent times, and you can go online and find all the pardons, not only for this president, there were about 26 of them until the time of Hunter Biden. Now we've got an initial 1,500 as of today. You can find all of them, almost all of them, with the exception of these larger groups, are name specific. And usually that's, again, for the reasons I described before, being the lawyer, that you want it to be very specific. But remember, not by our own personal recollection, Andrew Johnson pardoned a full pardon and an amnesty to all former Confederates on Christmas Day in 1868. That's a very large bunch, right? Those are legitimate. Some of us may recall, again, maybe very, very young, but Jimmy Carter, first day in office. That's why you can do this. You can take the oath of office, walk down Pennsylvania Avenue and move into the White House. First day in office, 200,000 draft resistors to the Vietnam War. Now, probably we've got the names of many of those violations of the Selective Service Act. Those were crimes, bringing them back into America. You can do what are variously called monumental pardons. You can do broad pardons. And again, they're not subject to review, to attack, that sort of thing. If you're wise and you are in that group, again, what you would do is contact the Office of the Pardon Attorney and say, hey, I just want to make sure that you know I'm among that group. And for that reason, when it comes to employment and voting and all the other civil liberties that go along with this, I'm in that group. It makes sense for you to get an attorney and have that or do it on your own and be identified in that group. But you could do it.
Well, you could be more specific. DACA.
Right. Absolutely.
Folks.
And we know the size of that population. And because many of them have made applications. Right. That's the entire
concept. Names and,
right. We know who they are. And you can actually publish those names as well. You could do that as well. Don't be surprised at all. Joe Biden isn't done yet. It is December 12th here. We've got 38 more days. He's going to do more of this before the end of the year and into early January, I believe. And it could be some of these larger pardons. I hope he does. Again, for people who have committed crimes throughout, the whole idea behind this is justice. And it's mercy is what the Supreme Court talks about. It's having somebody inside government look at this and say, you know what, it's right to do it. You have served your time. You've admitted to the underlying criminal offense conduct. You've done something good in the community for yourself, for other people. It is right and just that I, as not as the monarch, although the Supreme Court want you to think that that's what we have now, and maybe we do have now a regent who is the president, as the chief executive, I am going to exercise my forgiveness, my mercy, and do this wonderful thing for people who deserve it. Now, is that description true of all the people we've mentioned this afternoon? No, but that's the concept. That's the idea behind all this, and I would argue that that's what animates Joe Biden right now to the 26, up to his own son, 1,500 today, and more coming up. This is a man who's going to do this, I believe, based upon principled review and consideration.
1,500 commutations today, the largest one day ever issued. Right. And maybe we'll be 15 undocumented, 15 mm-hmm. million right. undocumented migrants going forward. We shall see. Thank you, James Santel, for hanging out, man. Really appreciate
it. Always a pleasure, my friend. Good to be with you. And happy holidays to everybody.
Yeah, thank you to you as well. Thank you, Jess P.S. on the board. Thank you to our fair audience. Thank you for all of you folks playing our contest. It continues on tomorrow. And stick around. Nightlight with our pal Pete Schwabba is coming up next. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful evening. Even though they weren't so bad, he tastes like you, sweeter. One night, oh yeah, one more time. Thanks for the memories, thanks for the memories. He tastes like you, sweeter. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we make our popcorn pick of the week with morning show host and former Green Bay mayor Jim Schmidt. And Madison film critic Rob Thomas joins the show, who has likely seen Jim's pick.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Todd Alba Show.
We're going to meet each other out in beautiful Seattle. My youngest godson lives out there. He works for the Navy at the Bremerton Naval Shipyard.
This is like your trip to L.A. There's always a connection over here.
Well, sure, because there's no hotel cost. I crash on people's couches. Right?
You are as innovative as you are cheap. That's a beautiful thing. You're
correct.
Thrifty, my friend. Are you sure Todd's a former Republican? Yes. Yes, he is.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The U.S. says it's made initial contact with the American man found in Syria today following the fall of the Assad regime. Travis Timmerman, in video interview, says he was thrown into jail 7 months ago while crossing the border on a Christian pilgrimage. ABC's James Longman is in Damascus.
He was found in the street, not wearing any shoes, his beard long, hungry, but broadly speaking, in good health. And so an extraordinary discovery here in Syria as thousands of Syrians keep making discoveries about their own families.
The U.S. also working to locate American journalist Austin Tice, kidnapped 12 years ago. The man charged in the murder of United Healthcare CEO, due back in court December 30th, Luigi Mangione, is being held on a firearms charge in Pennsylvania and is fighting extradition to New York. The New York Mets introducing newly signed outfielder Juan Soto today as deal $765 million over the next 15 years, the richest on record. This is ABC News. A reward is being offered to find a murderer.